Call me right after.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Hi. Welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Today is May 21st, 2007, and we're really excited today. We're getting ready for traveling this summer, planning your trips and kind of trying to figure out the best way of packing your trips. That's our topic today. And I'm Chris Newton. I'm your co-host, and my other co-host is Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Very fine. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about this show because I think the thing that I, when I travel, packing is so important. You know, it really adds, if you pack the right things, you can have a much better vacation. You know what I mean? Because, like, I've packed, you know, also you got to look at the weather and make sure that you have the right appropriate clothing and different types of clothing. But I find it, I just wanted to bring this up real quick, Jerry, that sometimes if I forget my kind of toothpaste or like things like that for your toiletries, it's very expensive in a lot of tourist areas or a lot of places where you travel. I think realize that, you know what I mean? Like a little toothpaste is like a couple dollars or so. And you know what I mean? Like you can get, you just got to be careful. You know,
and if you want to get an idea, just go to any airport store and see how much they charge you at the airport. I know that's one thing that what I usually start doing, depending on the trip, I start making a list of what I need about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time.
Two or three weeks, really?
Yeah, because I've discovered that a lot of times as I put things down, I'll start saying, well, maybe I really don't need it, or then it'll remind me of something else. And, you know, if you have a packing list, a final one, and you have it somewhere else other than your luggage, if you lose your luggage, that way you can submit that to the airlines for the claim.
Right.
And you'll know exactly what's in there. At least hopefully they'll take your word that's what's in there. But have you noted the one thing, and I think we should get this off the right beginning, that traveling light is the only way to go. I know when we went to Kilimanjaro, I had no equipment to go climbing the high mountains because I don't like cold weather. So we went down to REI, and I bought things that weighed almost nothing. And, you know, we climbed, I'd gone 12 days, including everything. I mean, everything I had, including the back, the luggage, it weighed less than 9 pounds.
Less, oh my God, that is going really light. That's amazing.
We're talking the parka, we're talking the rain gear, we're talking the shoes, everything, 9 pounds.
Oh, that is great. That's amazing. Yeah. That's,
oh, it's wonderful to go through customs, to go through all these things with 9 crummy pounds. Normally, I have 9 pounds just in shoes and suitcase. But the guy that I went with simply and purely says, you know, we're going to go this very light. And so I bought things that weighed ounces rather than pounds, and it's amazing. So I think we should preface everything we're going to do by saying we need to go light.
Light is, okay.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it adds a big difference, especially if you're, I've noticed where you can, in bigger cities, or if you get dropped off at a rail station, you know, if you're taking a train and you have to, you might have to walk a couple blocks with all your luggage, and I've seen people with tons of luggage, and they don't look like they're having a good time. You know, they really don't. And you got to go in subways. You know, sometimes in London, for instance, if you fly in Heathrow in London, you know, by the time you get to your hotel, you've probably walked probably 10 or 15 blocks at least, and unless you have a private car, but. But yeah, it's. I think light is really important, and just figuring out what you really need. You know what you really need because, you know, it's better to go a lot lighter. I think if you're backpacking too, if you're on a backpacking trip, you know, I've seen people that have like they bring everything with them, and I used to do that actually. I used to bring all these books, like travel books, and you think, you know, and that's great to have, but man, it adds a lot of weight, you know, all these books that you can bring, and so I went to China a couple years ago, They made a joke that one of the persons I was with, Dr. Linda Ralstein, I had so much extra room in my luggage that she put all the stuff that she bought in my luggage. Kind of, I helped her carry everything, you know, along, and she was so happy that I was a real light packer because she loved the shop, you know, like people who love the shop there. Hey Jerry, it looks like we have a caller here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, let me patch him in there. Hello, caller. Hi.
Hey, you guys. What's up?
Hi.
It's Tim in Ventura, California.
Oh, hi, Tim. Hi. How are you?
Hi. Oh, man, I'm doing wonderful. Doing good. How are things going over there?
Very good.
The reason I'm calling, I go to Brooks Institute of Photography here in Ventura, and I'm doing a travel story on Morocco.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be traveling to Morocco on Thursday for about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I kind of have a pretty good idea of what I want to do. I want to focus on Fez. I want to see if I have any experience with that city or not about Morocco that much.
Yeah, 10 times or
more. Excuse me?
I've been there at least 10 times.
Okay, have you been to Fez?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm going, there's a World Sacred Music Festival going on there.
Uh-huh.
It's 13th annual, and I'm just kind of going to be going for 3 weeks, and I really want to focus my photos on how it's kind of a medieval city and how they're kind of living the same way they have for the past 800, you know, years. Times has
uh-huh.
kind of stopped.
Uh-huh.
So I just wonder if there's any certain locations you think I should check out, or you know, just packing advice, or maybe some.
Well, Fez is a, how do I explain it? As you mentioned, it's a very ancient city, and it's a fabulous city. It's one of the most interesting cities in all of Morocco. But, you know, the architecture, for example, is very similar throughout. You either have it really modern or you have it old.
Mm-hmm.
And there's most of it's Arabic-looking with the domes and the arches and mosaic tiles, etc. What I would do, and there are a couple of famous things which you probably have already studied about that you'll want to photograph, but you know that what I would spend my time at, before I even took one photo, I would walk around and look for the lighting because some of it is very dark and narrow streets and narrow areas. So I would really be concentrating on the lighting and get an idea because I don't know. So my wife loves photography and she goes into different filters and things like that and different speeds of film.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're going to be using mainly digital.
Yeah, I'm shooting digital.
Okay. But you'll really have to worry about lighting because a lot of it is really dark.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing that I find most people are concerned about when they go there. Not so much the subject matter because, as you probably researched, it's a beautiful city. It's a wonderful city. And, I mean, there must be 20 buildings, for example, and some parks and things that you'll want. And I won't be exactly specific because your interest may be totally different than mine. But I would worry more about the time of day that you do it.
Right.
Not so much even the lighting, because a lot of it is dark. I mean, we're talking dark. And you may want to get a building maybe at 7 a.m. or something as the sun is rising, and then get it from a different angle down the street when the sun is setting. That would make it a much more interesting picture, in my opinion, than the actual saying you must photograph this building, because the lighting is what makes that place beautiful.
Exactly.
Because there's nothing, I was going to say, I mean, you can go almost any major city, except Casablanca, in Morocco, and you'll just find the same kind of architecture and the same kind of people. Unless you're going to other areas, if you're going into the eastern desert part, out into the Blue Mountains area, for example, I mean the Atlas Mountains, and
right.
going down into the desert, that's when you really start getting different peoples.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go down to Goulamine, for example, or an Agadir, and the other people in Marrakesh are very different as far as dress, and you get more of the nomads coming in and things. But
mind if I ask you how people are, you know, with you taking their picture? I know my parents have lived in Saudi Arabia and Riyadh for over 11 years, and I know, you know, you've really got to ask a lot of times or be very, you know, inconspicuous, you know.
I would,
and I've also heard about.
They're much more modern. They're much more modern in Morocco. And they're used to the French and billions of tourists. I mean, billions of tourists. And as a result, they're not quite as conservative. Now, I would, if in doubt, of course, ask. But most of them won't care, especially if you say, you know, can I take your picture?
May I?
Or if you don't get so close. I know my wife and some people will use more of a telephoto lens or get closer in, and they're across the street.
Yeah.
Look, and you're doing it very, but the reason you don't really want it posed is because you want it to look natural.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And if it's posed, and all of a sudden they get the canned smile on their face, and this
that's
kind
obvious.
Of be rigid and that. So I would just use more telephoto, unless it's somebody sitting on the street, and you do want it really close up, and just say, do you mind if I take your picture? They're not like the Saudis, where you feel like you're going to be killed, and they're not like some of the East African tribes, where they're going to fork out their hand and want $10 for the photo or something. They're really nice people.
Right.
I don't think you'll have a problem. Go ahead.
Oh, and the other thing, I've already contacted this woman there. She does a lot of translation for English film crews, and she's kind of helped as a guide. And she is really big into Sufism and, you know, the Sufi culture there, and music in particular. And I'm just wondering, do you remember, like, what a good day rate it is to pay for a guide, you know?
Well, it's going to vary. And it will vary according to how much education they have and how good they are.
Yeah.
And where you get it. Some guides, if you go to a travel agency, for example, or to a hotel, to a concierge, they will be quite expensive. Well, I imagine, at least $50 to $150 a day.
$50 to $100, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what you want from them, how much information. Now, I'm the type of person, I would, but you know what? If you go to the schools, you can get some of the students, and they will walk you around just for nothing, and just to practice the English, and they're just as good. It depends on what information you want.
Yeah, I mean, I really just
want
to see the city from their eyes. I mean, and you know, see what's sacred to them. And
I would go to one of the high schools or to university level, and just meet some people there as they're on their breaks and things, and have them walk you around and treat them to lunch or dinner or something, and give them $25, $50.
Sure,
that'd be great. But now some people want more in depth. They want more of to be able to get inside. The museum and see certain things in the museum which are not open to some people. So if you want that kind of a thing, it'll cost you a lot more money.
Yeah.
Because you'll have to get a professional guide who has all the contacts. So.
Right.
It depends. No, if you get a student or somebody, it'll be practically nothing, maybe even $10.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm looking
for. They won't practice English.
Right. Well, I appreciate it.
Are you only going to stay in Fez?
Yeah, I really wanted to go surfing. I surf a lot down here, but I'm just think it's going to be too much. I just need to get my focus really narrow and specific. I want to focus on the influx of technology into there and how it's changing the city. You know, how it's one of the United Nations heritage sites and you know, how they're really trying to protect it from the outside. And so I think I'm going to be going to high schools and universities anyway, so that's going to be a good resource for guides, I guess. I appreciate
you'll be,
it. Good
you'll be
tip.
Amazed at how many things such as, what do you call those, discs for television, cable, type thing. You'll be amazed at the number of modern things, people walking around with cell phones. It's not like it used to be. I went to Fez my first time probably 35 years ago, 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, probably 40 years ago. And Fez is a very different city now than it was.
I bet.
You'll see air conditioning units and that are hidden, sort of, but you'll hear them. And as you walk in the narrow streets, and it's much more. So it's going to be, you're about 20 years too late to get what you really want. But,
you bet.
but the nice thing about it is you will, and then don't wear as much of the traditional clothes anymore. They wear more Western clothes. So you're going to not see quite the contrast that you hope. The only thing that you'll see in contrast, really, will be the architecture, because they're building newer buildings and things, mainly on the outskirts. And people are just dressing better and eating better. And it'll be an interesting experience, though, since you've not been. You'll love it.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, guys.
Okay. And if you have anything else, just email us.
Yeah,
all right. Keep it up, you guys.
Email us at show@traveladviceshow.com, and then we can ask, you know, when you're in Morocco or something, you know, just let us know if you need anything. And
sure, I'll be there in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and our website is www.traveladviceshow.com, and you can hear this episode on archive, so you can hear yourself. And
good.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to do that.
Sounds
okay,
good.
Tim,
yeah.
Calling. Did your name is Tim?
All right, well, excuse me?
Was your name Tim?
Tim.
Tim?
Tim. Yeah, well, thanks very much for calling.
Yeah, have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you, Tim. Okay. Bye-bye.
Adios.
Okay, back to packing.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I think we ought to talk about a little bit. There's so
okay.
many different theories on packing. And some people like to lay things, their clothes flat. Some people like to roll them. And some people like to have like suitcases like his, hers, and ours. And
okay.
some people like to put everything in one, like a backpack or a hand carry. I don't think that there's any right way or wrong way. How do you do yours? Do you mainly roll yours or lay them flat, your clothes?
I try to layer it up so kind of flat. But I notice in some suitcases, you know how there's the bar in the middle for the rollers, the roller
uh-huh.
bar. You know, and that's a great, like, in between those groove areas is a great way to put socks and underwear and
mm-hmm.
kind of miscellaneous things. You don't have to, because a lot of people lay their clothes right above that, and they have all that space missing in between those two,
yeah.
you know, where you can roll your luggage right there. So
mm-hmm.
I try to put my socks and everything, and then I just lay, you know, the most, like, and also I try to gauge when I'm going to wear it during the week or a couple weeks. Like, I put things away on the bottom that I might not get into for a while or something. And then, but yeah, I you know, it varies kind of. I like with a garment bag, I think a garment bag's great, you know, that you can just lay it all out, and, you know, that's really nice. If you're more dressed, say if you're going on vacation for, if you have some nice nights with
a cruise or something like that.
Yeah, when you're wearing formal dress.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so a garment bag is great for that. But
mm-hmm.
and then if you're backpacking, I try to put the things you're going to need the most up top, because I've done this before that I have to get something and it's all the way at the bottom of the bag. You know?
Isn't that the horrible experience of your life?
Oh, man, yeah. And it just takes forever, and you got to take everything all out, and then, yeah, it's really tough, yeah, so I recommend kind of planning, like, put your most important things up on top of your backpack there, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I wrote down a list of a couple of things that I sometimes have forgotten, or wish I remembered, or something. One thing, for example, don't forget your charger for your cell phone and things such as that.
Oh, right.
And extra batteries. Because they always seem to run out exactly when you need them. And most people like to take notes. So be sure to take some paper to write things down. And if you ever need to put your email or something like that, you have a piece of paper to give them to people. And medical, don't forget your prescriptions. I actually take the prescription and the extra of it. But some things that you may want to take are things like Band-Aids and tweezers.
Yeah.
And things like that. But definitely bug repellent if you're going to certain areas. And get the right kind of bug repellent for what you think you might need. But there's so many things, and you can take just too much, actually.
Right.
I was in Morocco one time. It's funny you talk about that. I was in Agadir at the airport. And a guy came up to me and said, "Are you American?" I said, "Yes." He says, "So am I." And he was bumming around Morocco. And he says, "I hope you have something." He was sick. I said, "Well, and sure enough, I had it." He said, "America's a walking pharmacy." And sure enough, I had it. So
no.
I let him have some of it. But now, some people, and when you pack, we have to talk about money. How much cash do you take? Do you take traveler checks, credit cards, ATM cards? What do you take? And what do you take most of the time? Now, let's talk about domestic and international.
Oh, so sure.
I mean, the U.S. and Canada. How do you take your money?
Yeah, when I travel domestically in America or Canada there, and I try to get a pretty good amount of cash, you know, and I for accommodations though at the hotels or places, I use a credit card. I use either a Visa or American Express or something like that. Because that's the most amount of money I think you spend when you're traveling, I think, is your accommodation. And I try to use my credit card as much as I can and just have the cash for emergency, you know, to have enough cash to kind of get out of situations. And then when I travel internationally, I don't do traveler's checks that much anymore. I used to, but I seem to use the ATM, and that's a good way to get, you know, you get a good rate, you know, with the ATM. You know, you get the cash right away, and then it comes right out of your checking account or you know, things like that. And I always try to, sometimes if I go on a big trip, I might make the exchange here at a local bank in America and try to get that currency of where I'm going. Have you ever done that, Jerry? Like go to the bank and maybe have cash when you arrive or in the airport, you just get it right in the airport there, like
Well, I try. It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm going to know I'm going to arrive late at night
on
a holiday, one of their holidays, I try to take at least enough money to take a taxi or whatever I need to get down to the hotel.
Yeah.
And maybe to pay for some food. So you never know where you're going to be eating, what time things. So I have currency in their own money, if at all possible.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get there late. If I'm not, I just take U.S. dollars. 90% of the world will take U.S. dollars. In many cases, some of the primitive, more rural areas won't. But they'll take it, and they just give you an exchange rate. Sometimes it's horrible, but at least you have it. And I like to take a lot of $1 bills, at least 100 $1 bills, and never more than 20, ever more than a 20 bill, because it's just hard to exchange them except at banks.
Yeah.
And so mainly we take ones and fives and tens. That's what we take most, unless you're going to be in the country a long time, and then we'll take some 20s.
Okay. Yeah, and the $1, too, is really nice for tips and things like that, you know. So if you, you know, they're nice to have. Yeah, I agree with that.
And to pay your airport taxes exactly right, if they'll take the U.S. dollars. Some places won't. And one thing that a lot of people forget to take is if they're international, they forget to take their driver's license. They'll take their credit cards and their passports, and that's ID. If you're going to rent a car, you've got to have your driver's license.
Right.
And some people want to take prepaid phone cards, all this. But one thing that I think is important that we take is duct tape, a little bit of duct tape wrapped around a pencil or something like that, and you can use, or a pen, ballpoint. You can use that pen, but you always can. There's so many things that can happen that you need duct tape to do some stuff. And one thing people often forget are things like their travel alarm clock and things like that. We haven't talked anything about line of clothing, but most people, I think, know that depending on where you're going, that determines what kind of clothes you'll be taking and how much of it. But you can wash out stuff. And if you stay in a good hotel, you can have it laundered. It takes about 24 hours usually.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually take about three outfits and wear one as an average if we're just doing normal trips. That seems to do you fine for us. And make sure you have a pair of walking shoes that you've used before. Don't take new ones. You do. Speaking of Morocco again. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was on a trip in Dublin, Ireland, and I had pretty new shoes, you know, and and Dublin, I walked quite a bit, you know, just going from Temple Bar area to Trinity and just up and down the river, the Liffey there. And, oh, my gosh, dear, I had so many blisters, you know, and I was like, it was so horrible. They're like leather shoes kind of, But, yeah, I recommend make sure your shoes are very worn, you know, before you start walking around. Yeah, that's a big...
Yes, indeed.
That could ruin your whole trip,
I know it. Now, depending on where you're going, women especially may want to consider this. In certain areas, it's very dangerous, actually, to wear decent jewelry. In fact,
oh, right.
There are certain areas women might be advised not to wear your engagement ring, a diamond. Only wear the wedding band, or if you wear any jewelry, make sure it's costume jewelry, something cheap. And like you have bracelets and things, leave the good stuff at home unless you have to. You're going someplace really classy for a formal dinner or something, but leave it at home because it's just not worth it. And one thing that most people learn the hard way is on their electric hair dryers and their shavers and hair curlers. They buy it in America, for example, at 110 volt, or they buy it internationally at 220 volt. And then if they use 110 volt internationally, that's 220, it blows it up. And if you've never had it happen to you, you've just never lived. It's kind of fun to see, boom, it explodes in your hand. Have you had that happen to you yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't. No, it's.
I've had it twice.
Really?
It's scary. Yeah, it sparks flying. You think you're going to be electrocuted. And but you need to do, not only do you need to worry about the plug, you know, that plugs into the outlet and the wall where you are, because each country, many countries have different kinds. They're either angled or they're round or they're rectangled. And so you need to know what plugs into the wall. But also make sure the currency. So we have a multi currency hair dryer, and my shaver is a rechargeable one. So it works on any voltage. It doesn't matter. And on the hair dryer, we just switch it to 220 before you set out. If you're in the like Europe, it's a 220, and then you're okay. It won't blow up on you. So people need to really be aware of that, because it's kind of horrible to have it blow up on you before the trip actually starts.
Yeah.
And so one thing that a lot of people don't even think about is taking things like candy wipes and extra toilet paper. I mean, I will not go anywhere without a roll of toilet paper in my hand carrying. And, I mean, sometimes your nose will start running because of allergies or whatever. You just blow your nose, or you might need it because some toilets don't have it. And so carry that. And
yeah, I was in a train station in Poland one time, like by Krakow area, and I went into the restroom there, and they didn't have any toilet paper in the restroom in a train station. I know. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened here? You know, yeah, but you got to, and that's a good thing to have, you know, just a little bit for emergencies there. Yeah, that's
well, I think a whole roll.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you may want to check, and this is the thing that I've had to do because I've learned the hard way, is when you go internationally and you have your calling cards for the phone company, make sure you know how to call out of that country. So just call your company, like AT&T or TMC or Sprint or somebody like that, and say, I'm going to be going to England. How do I call back to America? Or you're in America. How do I call back to England? And make sure you get the codes so you can get out and not have to charge a fortune in most cases. That they have a toll-free number that you can call out on.
Mm-hmm.
And then and once you get to an American or European or wherever you are, from where you are, that you got your card, then it becomes a free call, basically, or they don't charge as much or whatever. So it's very important to find out how to call out of the countries that you're going to before you leave. And we're almost out of time.
Yeah, I know. We just have a minute left here. Yeah, that's great. Like next week, May 28th, we're going to talk about we kind of went over a little bit, but documents and passports, you know, and just on what type of documents and for traveling around the world, you know, to different types of different countries have different requirements, and so just kind of give you a general idea about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep. Alrighty.
Yeah.
There's anything else you want to talk about packing?
Yeah, I think the best thing, I mean, for the summertime here is just kind of light is probably the main thing. You know, travel as light as possible, I think, and you'll realize, okay, I didn't bring that book or something, and you'll see the difference. You know, I think
mm-hmm.
With the lightness and just on how to manage your suitcases and just how to figure out. I recommend, too, like checking in is not a bad thing to do. I mean, a lot of people on the airplanes nowadays, I think, put too much stuff on the overheads, and checking in, it's almost easier to not worry about it, you know what I mean, sometimes.
I know it.
You know, yeah.
Also, if you go to a warm climate, at night it can be very cool. So you it may be 90 degrees or 80 degrees, but at night it might drop 20 degrees. So be sure to wear something that will keep it warmer.
Yeah.
That's one thing people forget about. And
Definitely.
So there's tons of things, and if you have any questions, just email us.
And email us at show@traveladviceshow.com, and our website is www.traveladviceshow.com. And Jerry's been giving travel advice for how many years now, Jerry? You've been like
unofficially probably 35.
Oh my gosh, that's great! I've been giving advice. I've been traveling around the world for the last like 15. 20 years, we really enjoyed it. We can help you with your itinerary, and that was great. Tim calling in today from he's going to Morocco there, so that was excellent. I hope we gave him some good advice about photography and about the local culture. I'm excited, and we're gonna have a great summer. We're gonna do a show about Norway later in July, and we're going to talk about the Caribbean islands in June, and we're keep on updating the website, so hopefully we'll get the latest things on the website there. And but you can listen to all the archive shows on the website too, which is great.
All right. Well, have a good week.
Thank you, Jerry. You too. And
see you
looking forward to next. Okay. See you next Monday. Okay.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.